I'm doing well. How can you not be on a beautiful morning like this, Joe?
Gosh, we are so fortunate. Certainly anything could happen in the merry month of May, and so far, so good.
Yeah, well, not many days left.
This is true. Really was picture perfect at the Hancock Adams Common for Memorial Day yesterday.
It was indeed. I was concerned about moving the event because of the construction of Mount Wollaston, which is going very well, and it's going to enhance the beautiful veteran section at the end of the day. However, people really enjoyed the venue. They many people said, you should move it here permanently. I said, well, I don't know about that, but it worked out this year very well. And of course, a lot of people don't realize there's almost 200 soldiers, people that served in the Revolutionary time, buried in the Hancock Cemetery. So it was fitting to have it there. And a little breezy, but it was a beautiful day.
Indeed, yeah. Imagine what it would have been like up at the cemetery with that wind.
Oh, right, exactly. Yeah. Yep.
Although, you mentioned the renovations, and the whole purpose really is to create a special veteran section, right, at Mount Wollaston?
Well, it's to enhance the section that is there, but with the changing of the entrance, the narrowing of the entrance, it was very, very wide at the bottom and unyielding. We'll create a lot more grave space going forward for veterans, of course. And, of course, we're realigning all the veterans' monuments. We're going to uplight them. We'll be putting in a number of flagpoles that will also have the military branches on them, as well as, obviously, the U.S. and state and city flags. And the new gate itself is going to be very, very handsome, something that is a major piece of art, if you ask me. So hopefully by the end of the summer, we'll be wrapping up the project and really will be handsome.
Yeah, and creating a special section also for the Gulf War veterans, right?
Well, there's a separate monument that has been designed. Mm-hmm. It's been tweaked a few times. It'll be going into production. I don't think that will be ready by the time this project's finished, so that will be a later date when we dedicate that monument to, it'll be the Gulf War, Iraq, Afghanistan, the War on Terror.
Yep.
We have, I believe, 7 names on that monument, Quincy people that we lost during those battles.
It's hard to believe it's been, 1991, I think, was the initial invasion, so it's been a long time.
It sure has. Yeah. It's incredible. Yeah.
Mayor, can we talk a little bit about the annual budget process that's currently underway? And 18 department budgets approved last week. There's several more on tap this week. But some questions about the proposed salary increases for some department heads. Do you think that those are justified, those salary increases?
Well, Joe, the obvious answer to that is I wouldn't have put them in if I didn't think they were justified.
Right.
The reality is in this market, if you compare to a lot of industry, a lot of other cities, we're way underpaid in many of the examples of department heads. Not all of them, but many of them and many of the appointees. So we made some adjustments, just as we did on the school side with lunch workers and paraprofessionals and others that were way below market level, so make it more competitive. I do believe, most of our department heads love the city, love what they do, and have taken a hometown discount, and that's okay. But, the reality is they are professionals. They do deserve to be receiving a salary that really reflects the job they do, and certainly it compares to other cities and districts and towns or whatever it may be. I mean, there are... I'll give an example. As town managers, they're up in the 200s when you see mayors in the 130s, 150s, 160s. I would say that the police and fire chiefs are probably very competitive, but a number of the others were way low. For example, the public works commissioner, huge responsibilities, a lot of jurisdiction, major infrastructure, 24/7. And so that was one that was way under, for example. So we had an outside company, Gallagher & Associates, national firm. They do this stuff. Come in, take an objective look, and make recommendations to the administration, which we then, in turn, made recommendations in the budget to the city council. And some of them, it's over a two-year period, kind of lay them in over two budgets. So I stand by it. I think it's well-deserved, and we'll see what the council does.
Speaking of... Police Chief, I understand that the June 1st will be the date that the official list for candidates will be certified. Is that right?
Yes, correct. It'll be posted by Civil Service, yes. Okay. So the Assessment Center has done their work, they now submit that to civil service. Civil service then posts it. I believe there's a appeal period for those who participate in that process, and then I'll make my selection.
Okay. And do you anticipate a date for naming a new chief?
Well, I got to double check what that appeal period is, because I want to move on it. I'd like to have the chief in place before the other chief retires, give them a little time together in the transition. However, civil service dictates that process. So, you know, it definitely will happen in June. There's no question.
Sure. Okay. As you're aware, Mayor, there was a pretty major fire in the city on Friday, and not too soon for your addition of a fourth ladder company.
It is remarkable. Yeah. Like, you know, we don't have, at least it's in my memory, we were kids and we seemed to have a lot more fires. There seemed to be less of them, but they're still severe and challenging, difficult. And that's an old building, that fire, the corner of Willard and Hall Place there. Mm-hmm. 7th Street, rather. And it was, you know, tough fire. You know, chief had called me in a number of times that day, filling me in what was happening. He basically said to me, this is why manpower matters.
Yeah.
You know, you have that kind of a tough fire. Everything in the fire service is heavy. The equipment you wear, the hoses you're dragging, you know, it's all very heavy gear. And, you know, when you're dealing with those kind of situations, you need the manpower. And, you know, he told me this was a 3-alarm fire. 15 years ago, it would have been a 6-alarm fire.
Wow.
Because we didn't have the manpower. And, you know, when you're adding more alarms, you're waiting for more people to get there. Therefore, the fire does more damage before you can get it under control. So,
Right. Obviously,
we feel bad for the folks involved in this. We thank the Red Cross for their immediate response. And our Affordable Housing Trust, we stepped up and put people up in hotels for a period of time as well.
Hmm.
And certainly, our heart goes out to those folks that, you know, that's a very difficult thing to lose all your belongings and things. Thank God nobody died.
Right.
There were a couple of people injured, but everybody seems to be all right. So that's the main thing.
Yeah, absolutely. As you mentioned, the fires have become less frequent but more severe. I know that the NFPA cites the use of synthetic materials in furnishings as a major contributor to that. Things just burn so much more quickly.
They do, and the chemicals and all those things are not good. And in the fire service today, the cancer rate for average, you know, firefighters is much higher than the average person. So, and that's due to all of that, the stuff that the chemicals involved that's burning. And
yeah.
You know, these, they wear their masks and so forth, but it gets in their skin, and that's why we've done what we've done, working with the fire department in all these stations and putting, giving them a second set of turnout gear, but also putting in washrooms so they can wash their clothing and equipment in between, and shower and so forth. You think of the older days when they had one piece of gear, they went to a fire, they come back and sat in the same clothes in the firehouse.
Yep.
While that stuff's permeating in their skin and so forth. So we've come a long way in addressing that, but it's still a reminder that it's a hazardous occupation.
No question. Yep. And you you want them there when you need them.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
You hope you never do, but you want them there if you do, for sure. Have you thought at all, Mayor, about your address to the graduating class of 2023 this year?
Oh, God, that's a week away, Joe. I haven't...
That's less than a week for the high school. It's next Monday.
That's true. I certainly hope we have weather like we're enjoying this week.
No, well, I know, right?
It's a great venue for that event.
Yeah.
I always enjoy that event. I've said it publicly a million times. You know, as a member of the school committee and certainly as chair, you know, to see the kids move on and in life and be successful, and you think about all the effort made in the school system. Obviously, the teacher first and foremost, but you know, all the other folks involved in it, guidance counselors and paraprofessional secretaries, custodians, security people, you know, coaches, principals, assistant principals, you name it. I mean, they're all there for that night. That's the whole purpose of bringing them through the system and getting them ready so they may succeed and hopefully become good citizens and productive citizens. So it is an awesome time of year. And, you know, you do have issues along the way in the schools, and unfortunately, sometimes the negative stuff dominates, but the reality is most kids do the right thing, and we're just proud of them.
Tonight is the Public School's annual Pops Concert. I want to remind folks, in the auditorium at Quincy High School at 6 p.m., you'll see some talented young musicians performing. The music department has come a long, long way in the public schools.
It really has, yep. And you know, we're very, very supportive of that. I've often said, you know, sports is a great way for people to get through school and enjoy their experience and the whole bit, but so is music and arts, and there are kids that do incredible work in that world, and I mean, fortunately, the last few years, we've spent some extra resources, and you know, the marching band has the new percussion drums we were able to purchase for them. They hadn't had new drums in 20-something years, you know?
Yeah.
So it's important we invest in all those programs to round out the experience going through school for each and every kid. Not everyone, you look at the MCAS, every kid's supposed to fit in a certain bucket. But in reality, everybody's different, Joe. We all know that. Everybody excels in different areas. Everybody has different God-given talents and gifts, and you hopefully in school, you know, we see that come out of those kids, and they find a love and in an area that they really excel in and you know, can really do something with. So that doesn't mean they're going to become professional musicians necessarily, but it's a skill you have your whole life that you can enjoy with you, your friends and family. And it's an important aspect, and you know, the schools, I think, are doing very, very well. We get good leadership and dedicated staff, and just so proud. And I'm glad we're where we're at. I mean, you know, the last few years was challenging and difficult, but we've come a long way. The big challenge going forward is going to be how much is technology and how much is physical textbooks, you know. The Chromebooks, you know, bought by the federal government, but, you know, we can't afford $5 or $6-7 million every couple of years for... Mm. The new Chromebooks, because you know the kids lose them. They get, you know, my dog ate the homework, and now I dropped my Chromebook on the toilet.
Well,
it may be.
And technology advances so quickly; they become out of date very fast.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So those are some of the decisions going forward. Going to be challenging.
Sure. Also, may I just want to remind folks, today kicks off the Marina Bay Ferry, the Valkyrie from Squanda Point Park. The city's teaming up with Winthrop again. Yes.
Yes. Once again, that pilot program we've experience over the last few years. Maureen Gary from the Planning Department has really worked hard on that issue, and we thank our state legislators who also are very supportive of it, Representative Ayers and Senator Keenan. So, you know, we're hopeful long-term that this will expand into something that I think that we're way short on in Boston Harbor, and that's water transportation. And, you know, we get so many cities that live right on Boston Harbor, and could avail themselves of this thing. You know, back to the bridge issue, Long Island could be the hub of a very robust ferry service, water transportation in the Boston Harbor area. And I think we're, no pun intended, we're missing the boat.
Mm-hmm.
So we hopefully this will turn into something more permanent.
Be a beautiful day out in the water for sure.
Indeed.
Great to talk to you as always, Mayor. Appreciate your time.
Joe, enjoy the beautiful day.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.